In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you. I'm looking at the prophet Elisha today, the one who succeeded Elijah. Chapter 4, 2 Kings 4. "And there came a man from Baal Sheslah, and brought the man of God bread of first fruits, 20 loaves of barley, and full ears of corn in the husk. Therefore he said, give unto the people that they may eat. Elisha said, give it to the people to eat. But his servant objected, how can I set this before 100 people? Elisha insisted, give it to the people to eat. For thus says the Lord, they shall eat, and there shall be some left over. And when they had eaten, there was some left over, as the Lord had said." I tell you, yesterday the people preached on the multiplication of the loaves and the fishes, and there were some people who are preachers that have no faith, because they said they shared their lunch. No, Jesus multiplied the fish and the bread. He is a multiplier. God multiplies. He doesn't divide. But you know, people who don't have faith, because they shared their lunch. What about the 12 baskets that were left over? I'm looking at John 6, 1-15. "Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd followed him." Why? Because they want to be healed. They want to be touched by the Lord. "Because they saw the signs he was performing on the sick. Jesus went up the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. The Jewish feast of Passover was very near, and when Jesus raised his eyes and saw that a large crowd was coming to him, he said to Philip, where can we buy enough food for them to eat? He said this to test him, because he himself knew what he was about to do." You know, he's going to multiply this bread and fish. "Philip answered him, 200 days wages of food would not be enough for each of them to have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, there is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what good are these for so many?" I tell you, this Andrew I really love, because he's always bringing people to Jesus. He brought Peter to Jesus in the first chapter of John. He brought the little boy with the fish and the loaves to Jesus. And he brought the Greeks to Jesus in the 12th chapter of John. Andrew is filled with this fervor to bring people to Jesus. When I started my radio ministry, I knew that it was going to be about Andrew, because Andrew brought people to Jesus. And I started to think the Andrew Hour didn't fit. Everything I put before me and the Lord didn't fit. So I had to buy professional tape recorders and stuff in order to get onto the radio. So you know what happened? There was a young man that said to me, what are you going to call your broadcast? I bought this from him, the tape recorder. I said, I have no idea. He said, why don't you call it In Season and Out of Season? Yesterday I heard you preach, and you preached about proclaiming the Lord in season and out of season. And I said, wow, you're Andrew. His name is Andrew. I knew Andrew had something to do with it. Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, there is a boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what good are these to so many? Jesus said, have the people recline. Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, So the men reclined, about 5,000 in number. That's just the men, 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. I tell you, there would be at least 15,000 people. So the men reclined, about 5,000 in number. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed them to those who were reclining, sounds like the Eucharist, and also as much of the fish as they wanted. It wasn't the Eucharist, but it was the prefiguring of the Eucharist. When they had their fill, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over. Gather up the fragments left over, so that nothing will be wasted." So they collected them and filled 12 wicker baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves, that they had more than they could eat. When the people saw the sign he had done, they said, "This is truly the prophet, the one who is to come into the world." The sign of the multiplication of the fish and loaves. Jesus said that knew that they were going to come and carry him off to make him a king. So he withdrew to the mountains all alone. This is the temptation of Jesus, another temptation. Are you going to die on a cross, or are they going to make you a king? Jesus knew that this was a temptation. He ran off to the mountains. I tell you, this is very important. This is very important that Jesus ran off to the mountains to be with the Father, so that the Father would give him the grace to carry out exactly what he was to carry out, that would be to die on the cross. I can just see as the apostles are giving out this bread, their eyes were popping out because they saw it multiply before their eyes. We've had several multiplications. There's one in Juarez, Mexico, and these people went to feed the people in the dump. They only had a couple of chickens, but there were so many people that the chickens would not be enough. So they kept on slicing the chicken, and it was enough, and there was more than enough. There was a multiplication. This winter, when we were feeding the people out in Boston, there was an experience that we had. We ran out of coffee. The coffee spigot was empty. It wasn't tipped over. So someone said, "Well, they need coffee. I'm going to try the spigot." And there was plenty of coffee to be given to the poor. I tell you, we thought we saw a multiplication in our very midst. So this is God doing these things. He knows how to multiply. He doesn't know how to divide. He is a multiplier of the things. And I feel sorry for the people who preached yesterday. They shared their lunch. That is a lie. That is a faithless statement. Chapter 3 of Ephesians. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus, for you, the sake of the Gentiles. In other words, Paul offered up his suffering for his Gentile people that became part of the one man, Jew and Gentile, head belonging to the head. "For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me for you." In other words, that God chose Paul to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. But before he went to the Gentiles, he would always go to the synagogue, and they would go cast him out, they would stone him, they would leave him for dead. And I tell you, he then went to the Gentiles to preach the gospel. This is what the mystery is, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, that he became apostle to the Gentiles by revelation. As I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations before Jesus, this mystery was not made known to man, as it has now been revealed to and his holy apostles and prophets by the Holy Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the preaching of the gospel. the Gentiles would become part of the body of Christ, just like the Jews that believed in Christ would become part of the body of Christ. How? Through the preaching of the gospel. Of this gospel I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by working of his power. Although I am very least of the saints, this grace was given me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ. Paul preaches to the Gentiles. They come to join the church. They give their lives to Jesus. They come to join the church. There is one man, no more two, Jew and Gentile, both through the preaching of the gospel, came to believe in Jesus. And also, the Jew and Gentile would make one man, not two men anymore, and they would become God's people, joined to the head, which is Jesus Christ. What is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places? Through the church. The church is called to preach the gospel. Through the church, through the church, through the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety might be known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. Through the church. Oh, how the church needs to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. How the church needs to proclaim Jesus as Lord. How the church needs to proclaim his death, burial, and resurrection. How the church needs to do that. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he was carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in whole boldness and confidence through faith in Jesus. We have access to the Father, access to the Holy of Holies through the blood of Jesus Christ. I pray, therefore, that you may not lose heart over my sufferings. In other words, don't worry about me suffering, being in prison. But these sufferings are for you. They are for your glory. Yes, Paul used this suffering, this persecution, for the glory of God. I tell you, it is not God's will that we be sick. It is God's will that we be persecuted and proclaim Jesus to people so that they might receive the Savior, that he died for them, that he was buried for them, and that he rose for them. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. So Paul bows his knees before God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. Our Father has given us names that every family, the Di Lorenzo family, was given by the Father. The Jones family was given by the Father. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner man with power through his Spirit. Oh yes, how we need to be strengthened in our inner man through the Holy Spirit. How we need it, because there's so many temptations. And that Christ may dwell in your hearts. How? Through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love, that Jesus Christ would dwell in our hearts through faith. Through faith in his cross, through faith in his blood, through faith in his death, burial, and resurrection. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, height, and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. The experience of the love of Christ surpasses all knowledge, so that you may be filled with all fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us, that's God the Holy Spirit, is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. It is God's plan that the church would preach the Lord Jesus Christ. It is God's plan that people would know the outpouring of the Spirit and that they would be part of the church, part of those called out. I believe it's the one holy Catholic and apostolic church, the fullness of faith. But I also believe that so many people are not preaching the gospel, are not preaching the power of God, are not preaching the Holy Spirit's baptism. And I tell you, it's time that we who preach the word should be faithful to the word of God. I therefore, a prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope. Our hope is in Jesus Christ, to the hope of your calling, one Lord Jesus, one faith, faith of the church, one baptism. Baptism is very important. That's where I became a son of God. But as an adult, I had to make sure that I wanted to be that son by giving my life to Jesus. One God and Father of us all, who is above all and who is through all and who is in all. Do you know that Jesus Christ through his Holy Spirit is in you? Do you know that today? If you are a believer, you are a tabernacle of the Most High God. God dwells within you. He is dwelling within you now, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. Why? Because he's promised that. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself captive. He gave gifts to men. When it says he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens so that he might fill all things. Oh, yes. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose from the dead. He descended and he preached the gospel to those people that were in Sheol, Adam and Eve and all the other people that were in Sheol. The gifts he gave were that some would become apostles, those that are sent, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. How? To equip the saints for the work of the ministry. In other words, you are given gifts of being an apostle or a prophet or an evangelist for the ministry of building up the body of Christ, building up the church. These gifts are not given so that we could flaunt them. They are used so that we build up the body of Christ, which is the church, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of full stature of Christ, that we become all that God wants us to be in Christ. Are you all that God wants you to be in Christ? I'm not. I want to be more. I want to be more in Christ. I want to be more the follower of Jesus. I want to be more knowing that I'm a tabernacle of the Most High. I want to be more knowing that the blood cleanses me. Oh, yes, I know it. I want to know it more. I want to know it more. We must no longer be children tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine. In other words, know what Jesus has done for you, and don't follow other doctrines that people will use to say, I am the Christ, by people's trickery, by their craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking in the truth and in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is head of the body, who is Christ. He is the head of the body, the head and the members, the church, the head of the body. The members are the church. And I believe that the church is not only the Catholic Church, but also that people who believe that Jesus is Lord and that he's been raised from the dead, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part of its working properly promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. Oh yes, building ourselves up in love. Not in saying, well, I've got more than you, I got this and I've got that. No, building up the body in love. How we need to know how to build up the body in love, that Christ multiplies, he doesn't divide. If you are talking about your pastor, God is telling you, you are not in his will. God multiplies, he doesn't divide. For this I affirm and insist on the Lord, you must be no longer live as the Gentiles live, in sin, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of their ignorance and hardness of heart. They have lost all sensitivity and have abandoned themselves to licentiousness, to greed, to practice of every kind of impurity. That is not the way you learned Christ. For surely you have heard about him and were taught in him the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught to put away your former way of life, which was greed, impurity, drunkenness, your old self, corrupt and deluded by its lusts, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to clothe yourself with the new self, created according to the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So then, putting away falsehood, the past, let all of us speak the truth in our neighbor, for we are members of the one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their hands, so to have some share with the needy. I tell you, see, God wants us to share ourselves with the needy. It is so important to know that not only do we get our own monies and things, but that we share what we have with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up as they need, for edification of the church, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with the seal for the day of redemption and our baptism. Put away from you all bitterness, all wrath, all anger, all wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, always loving, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. How important it is to forgive, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Do you know that God in Christ has forgiven you your sins? Do you know that your sins have been forgiven by the blood of Jesus? Do you know that you are a tabernacle of the Most High God? Do you know that you are to put aside the evil ways of your past and give yourself anew to Jesus Christ? Do you know that there is power in the name of Jesus? Do you know that God has a plan for your life? Do you know that that plan is good? You might say, but I'm very old. Makes no difference. God has a plan for your life. He has a plan for my life. We need to be in line with Jesus Christ so that that plan would be accomplished. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh in the womb of the Virgin Mary, and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. We need to hear from people so that we can pay our bills. Go to inseason.net and go to PayPal or write Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.